The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
All right, 10:02 on ESPN 97.5. Anytime you want to get in, you're more than welcome. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. Your headlines from yesterday. JJ was the headline. That headline nationally going to the Arizona Cardinals. They could use some help. Chandler Jones wasn't all that good. Their defensive line was fine. They finished, I think, with 12th in 12th in defense and 13th in offense as far as scoring goes last year. They're a team that's they're a playoff team this year, Dale? I think they are. I think they're taking steps. You know, I know that they had a miserable end to last season. I think you gotta keep Kyler doing what Kyler does best, and that's running. The fear of Kyler running was what helped them to that 5-2 or 6-2 record to start the season last year. And they ended up not playing well, but I think that they got away. I think he got away from that a little bit, and they weren't nearly as effective as offensively. They played pretty decent defense most of the season. They lost, five games within one score, or five or six games within one score. Of course, they won that crazy game with the Hop going up and getting that ball. A game they shouldn't have won. So they lost to the Jets. They lost to the Jets.
So did the Rams, right?
Right. I mean, so
improbably.
Yeah. So it's they're right where they should have. They are what they are. They were an 8-8 team, but an 8-8 team is right there on the cusp of being a good, possibly being a good football team.
Yeah. I guess we had the caller call in. I guess it's just surprising when we heard. When we thought of J.J. Watt and his next destination, it was a title contender. And adding him and doesn't make them a title contender. Now, it's not to say they have an entire draft and an offseason besides J.J. to improve themselves. It's just a surprise to people. The assumption was a ready-made title contender he could join. But the Cardinals will be competitive. They're in what appears to be a tough division. We'll see what the Seahawks are with or without Russell Wilson, and the 49ers need to get healthy. And they're going to be banking on Jimmy Garoppolo, which, I mean, it was good for 1 year, but is that a comforting thought to be hoping for Jimmy Garoppolo to be great? So I'm not perplexed by the move. It's a dark horse. If you were ranking the teams in terms of who he would sign with, the dark horse won.
Yeah. No. I didn't remember seeing Arizona on the list. So, no, that was a surprise, I think, to everybody. And does he help? Yeah. And you know what? Allegedly, the money was better there. There might have been a team or two that offered more money. But there were teams that were offering less, that's for sure. And they were in the 10-12 neighborhood. And he's like, nah, no thanks. I'll take 15.5, 23 guaranteed.
Yeah, and the one correction is the Cardinals beat the Jets early in the year handily.
Oh.
They beat the Browns and the Rams. And then they went on to lose to the Pats.
Oh, that's right.
So they beat the Browns on their way to the playoffs. And then, so that's what happened. Yeah, I mean, good for JJ, I guess, is the best I can say. And he'll help them. I mean, I still believe that I don't know if he's an every down player in terms of being this major contributor. But as far as, and he'll get that because he's being paid to do that. He helps. He doesn't put anyone over the top, but. Maybe the Cardinals acknowledge that and say, hey, we have plenty of steps to take, and he's just one.
Yeah. I was thinking of the Detroit loss and the New England loss late in the year.
Yeah.
That was a bad loss. They lost to the Rams twice. They lost to San Francisco late. They lost their last two games to get knocked out of the playoffs. But when early on in the season – when Kyler was running the football, they were a pretty good football team.
Yeah, they were.
They were 5-2, and they ended up 8-8.
Yeah, they lost a close one to Miami, and probably Tua's best game. And then, so they had that unfortunate thing happen to him. He played really well now. And then they beat the Bills the next week on the improbable catch, and then they kind of fell apart.
Yeah, I don't know if that was the game before Seattle. He threw for 360 and ran for 67.
No, not Kyler's best game. Tua's best game.
Oh, Tua's best game.
Yeah, I said they were unfortunate to have Tua have his best game of the year against them.
Yeah. Remember that game? That Seattle overtime game? That was a Sunday night? Was it a Sunday night or a Monday night?
The Sunday game? Yeah, when Buda
that
Baker
was a great game.
Made the pick and then
Metcalf
chased him down, all that stuff that took place.
Yeah, that was a great game. And Kyler was awesome. It looked like one team was going to win, and then it looked like Seattle was going to win, and then they threw the pick, right?
Yeah,
in overtime
they brought pressure, and he fooled them, and he threw. I think was it to Isaiah Simmons who made the play?
I think he did.
And it set up the game winner with like almost no time left.
Right. That was a great game, and that was when they were playing good. They were 5-2, and then it just fell apart in the second half of the season. But are they a Super Bowl team? No. Are they a playoff team that's on the rise? I think so.
They have the ability
or
to make the playoffs.
Possible playoff
possible,
team.
Yeah. And it's interesting only because does Deshaun have that same choice? Like if the Texans come to him and go, look, a ready-made title contender doesn't exist in terms of the packages that we're looking for. But we can send you to a team that is okay, and if they add you, could be pretty good, but they're not winning a title. I wonder if he'll have that decision to make too. I don't know who that team would be. Like the Bears would fit in the profile of they add him, they should be contending. But there could be a team are the Panthers a title team if they add Deshaun Watson?
A title team?
Which is what he wants to do? Or are they like more like the Cardinals?
I think they're a playoff team.
Playoff team, yeah. So I think Deshaun might have to make that.
Well, do you have to give up McCaffrey for him?
Well, who knows?
You know,
these are the questions that the Texans, if they do decide to trade him,
first round, you're giving up McCaffrey, you're giving up Moore, another first rounder, and who knows what else? I don't know. You change it; that changes things drastically.
So I'm not sure the two big Texan names are going to have their choice of title contenders. JJ picked a possibly good team. Deshaun may have to make that decision too, unless the Bears are as desperate as Jeff Darlington says, and they give up everything they have, and then how good would they be?
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, anybody who gets Deshaun has got to give up both.
A lot.
See, that was why, you know, picking up JJ. Of course, JJ isn't impactful like Deshaun is, but much easier, and he can help you defensively. Whether or not ESPN put this out there, and I think it's probably a loaded question. Is JJ closer to average or elite now? He's closer to average.
Yeah, elite is defensive player of the year type. He's not that guy anymore. Who knows if he goes to a system he likes more, maybe more opportunities will show up for him. I don't know, but yeah, if I have to average things out, he's closer to being the 4 or 5 sack guy than he is the 20 sack guy, 8 batted balls and 25 tackles for loss, whatever his numbers were in his defensive player of the year years. We've seen the numbers.
Yeah. Now, he's been playing lately, so that's a positive. And he still is impactful.
He is a good football player. He's just not an elite one anymore.
No, he's not elite anymore. No. And it's exciting because it's exciting for them because it's a name, but he'll make plays for him too.
Yeah, I think so. I mean,
you know what? And this defensive line too, it's hard to tell because there was nobody else to block. There's nobody else to block on that line. And the way that these guys blitz, and the way that, you know, you got Chandler Jones, hopefully he has a bounce back season on the other side. You're losing Patrick Peterson, so that's a good corner. I imagine you're losing him. They might re-sign him, but he's a free agent.
Hassan Reddick as well is a guy who they have to make a decision on, I believe, too. So they are in flux, too. This is if it's another average year with them going all in on now former Texans, imagine that, building your team based on former Texans. Does Cliff survive? Does he get to a fourth year if they're average this year?
I think they got to win. I think they got to have a winning record. I think he needs to, and Kyler needs to improve. I think Kyler needs to improve.
Because that's what they brought
him there for. As opposed to, you know, a good first half.
And Cliff is the quarterback offensive guy, so it is under him that Kyler must improve.
That's right.
He'll be blamed if Kyler doesn't take the jump.
That's why he was hired.
Yes.
To coach Kyler.
Yes.
And, you know, we'll see. Maybe they need Lincoln Riley in there.
Well, maybe. Who knows what Lincoln wants to do. And Hassan Reddick's an unrestricted free agent, so I don't know if the J.J. Watt moves means they can't re-sign another pass rusher, a guy who's going to want a lot of money, who had 12.5 sacks this past year after doing almost next to nothing in his career before then, but he may be on the open market, so that might be not a direct replacement because Hassan Reddick's more of an outside linebacker, rush-in type. J.J. can play inside-outside, but the Cardinals got some decisions, man. But they do add a – I want – that J.J. signing, J.J. is going to put a target on him because of his name, but I'm not sure that the target should be placed on them as are the Cardinals next in line to make a huge leap. That depends on if Kyler becomes a player that they think he should be.
Yeah, I misread that. I don't know what I was. Jordan Hicks wasn't, and maybe it was the tackles for loss that I had seen earlier. Hassan Reddick was their linebacker that was kicking ass, not Jordan Hicks. Yeah, so they're better with JJ. I don't think there's any question. Man, their defensive line really came up with very little as far as rushing the passer last year, next to nothing. So they need JJ. Chandler Jones with just one sack, the whole season. So he I think he played 11 games last year. That's bad. That's really bad. Chandler Jones. No, he played just 5 games. I don't know what I was reading earlier. Well, it was at 6 in the morning I was reading it, so that's a problem. It's 10:14, ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776 is the number to hang with us.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776 to hang out with us on ESPN 97.5. You're more than welcome to get in. We got plenty of time here. We got News of the Weird coming your way in less than a half hour, but still time if you want to get in. If there's anything else that you want to talk about, your Rockets are bad. And Victor Oladipo played last night. He didn't play in the game before, but he played last night in a loss, 11-point loss to the Cavs. 32. For John Wall, but otherwise, it's just horrific, people. It is the 12th loss in a row, and they're just not an interesting basketball team. It'll be interesting. When do they? I got to look the second half of the season. When do they get to play? This is going to be a showdown. Now, first, second, and third get the same amount of ping pong balls, 14%, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the deal. So you got to finish in the bottom three, and right now they're there. They're vying for 14% ping pong.
Well, I think it's first, second, third, or fourth. If you're in the top four, you all have the same. I'm looking at Tankathon, and they have it kind of broken down. As long as you're in the top four, you have the same type of chances. So as long as you stay in that top four. Actually, take it back. Top three.
14, 14, and 12 and a half.
Yeah, you're right. Top three. Orlando, their chances dip a little bit because they're fourth.
Then 10 and a half, then 9, 7 and a half. So it's not a huge, huge advantage. Now, it used to be if you were in the top three, the worst you could draft is 4.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't believe, and I've been looking.
I think it might be, I think depending on where your record is now, like Minnesota can't fall beyond fifth, it looks like, and they have the worst record.
Okay.
Now, and Detroit can't fall beyond sixth. Houston can't fall beyond seventh, although that will revert to OKC. But, yeah, it depends on where your record is, and it determines how far you can fall.
How far you can fall.
Yeah.
Used to be, if you were in the bottom three, only one team could sneak up.
Yeah.
Now, anybody can sneak up, and you can drop all the way, if you're in the top three, all the way to seven.
Yes.
Yeah. So 14% ain't great, but it's a lot better than, you know what, just keep losing. Getting that top, that bottom three.
Yeah, it was all of that. It was to discourage what we're asking the Rockets to do. Lose and lose some more. That's why the percentages have evened out. But like even like last year, the Warriors had the worst record, did not have the first overall pick. Now they apparently might have taken James Wiseman anyway. And he's been a pretty, he's been okay for them as opposed to Edwards in Minnesota, but they were worst and fell to second. So it's possible to drop, but like it has always been, but it's even more dangerous. So the Rockets, and maybe you want to lose all the games and be have the worst record. It's possible.
So big showdowns, March 24th and 26th, back-to-back. Oh, no, 26th and 27th at Minnesota.
Toilet bowl games.
Yeah, and then you got Minnesota again here April 27th.
The Rockets need to find a way to lose all three.
All three.
And that's going to be hard with Minnesota.
It's going to be Minnesota's trying its best.
Yes.
The Rockets are showing a lot of effort, though.
Minnesota's already fired their coach.
Right.
Now, the thing is, they brought in a replacement who isn't an interim. So that guy, he doesn't need to really impress this year because he's had a long-term deal. So he could continue to be bad. They can direct him to be bad, knowing he has job security.
Right. So he can continue. I mean, the edict is you got to lose. We need to lose. And he's doing a hell of a job of it, too. They've got Detroit March 19th. And is that it for Detroit? Damn. We need more Detroit.
And there's a Rockets connection. Chris Finch used to be here as an assistant for the Rockets.
Yeah.
So we're going to need him to do his former team a solid and maybe win a couple games.
So those are the three, right? Minnesota, Rockets. Oh, no. Is it Minnesota, Detroit, and the Rockets?
Yes.
Yeah. Those are the bottom three. There's the battle right there.
The Rockets have already lost to Detroit, correct? On the road? Did they go up to Detroit and lose?
I'm pretty sure.
Why would they lose everything else?
No, they beat him 103-102.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
Yeah.
That would have helped the cause more, too.
Well, losing but to you Detroit. Still got a chance to even that series.
Yeah, but losing a close one on the road, or winning a close one on the road, that's rough.
You could have very well lost that game.
Is that the game where Detroit got off the shot late?
Eric Gordon with the... Didn't PJ put one back in the final seconds?
And I think Detroit had a chance to win, and their shot was after the horn or after the buzzer.
Oh, right. He made it, and it didn't count?
So by milliseconds, that could have gone a different direction.
Right.
That's a rough one for the Rockets.
Oh, well, Blake Griffin hit a three-pointer to bring it to 103-102. Eric Gordon, free throw. Yeah, there was no, that wasn't the PJ putback game.
No, I believe there was a layup by Jeremy Grant, but it was just late.
Just late.
And the review gave the Rockets the win. And that's a rough one.
That is. That's a tough win.
Yeah.
That's one that's going to come back.
It could come back to haunt them, definitely. Could.
Yeah. That's a tough, tough win. We don't need any of that anymore.
You think about it, that would have given Detroit their 10th win and the Rockets their 23rd loss. So Detroit would be 10-24 right now. The Rockets would be 10-23. This thing would have been just that much tighter, yeah. But they had to find a way to win.
Well, now, don't forget you had Boogie catching 15 rebounds now.
Look, a lot of things didn't go their way that night in that win.
Yeah, Boogie had 15, 5 and 15. I mean, you had people stepping up now. Mason Jones tried his best. He had 0 points.
See, that's what we like.
We had a Kenyon Martin Jr. sighting. I mean, that's back in the day. That's back in the day when they didn't realize what the hell was at stake.
I do think you need to be a little fearful because at some point they're going to bring up Kevin Porter Jr., who's an uber-talented guy. Hey. I mean, he didn't contribute to winning in Cleveland, but, you know, he's capable of going for 25 in a win, so – we got to be a little careful.
So what I've seen, though, from Paxton so far, bring up all the G League guys.
But Kevin Porter, not that it has mattered for the Rockets and Pats, he is a former first-round pick.
Justin Patton, not Paxton. Justin Patton. I mean, bring him up.
Just be wary. Like, he could get on a heater one night and go for 30 or something, and all of a sudden the Rockets are in the game they shouldn't be in. And then you're a little worried. So that's a really talented player who struggled in his early NBA career. But one night, that's all. That could be the difference. So maybe put him on a minutes restriction.
Justin Patton's out there taking threes.
Oh, you like that, though.
30%. Just keep filling it up.
Keep shooting, man.
Justin Laimbeer, let's go. Keep it up.
We're doing a whole segment on Rockets tanking options.
Well, this is important stuff. I want that 14%.
Do you even know what player that you want? Do you even know what player you'd want in the draft? Like, is Cade Cunningham the one everyone should want? It's not like there's a generational player in this draft.
Listen, Cade Cunningham had a good game against OU. He had 40 points, but it was in an overtime game. But I've watched a lot of Cade Cunningham. No, I want a Euro that I don't know anything about. Cade Cunningham is very Ben Simmons-ish in that he will go, I mean, he's...
And you watched Ben Simmons at LSU, right?
Yeah, and it was, I mean, he's very limited. I mean, not limited, I don't want to say limited. He's actually got a lot of potential, but he's just not a good offensive player. I seen him against Texas.
He's had some bad nights.
He's had some really bad. Go look at his game log.
I just pulled it up.
It's like that guy's the number one pick.
He's been better recently. He did have a bad one against TCU, 6-for-18. But the shooting has gotten better. But I see what you're saying. There's some like the Texas game was 5-for-22. That was clearly his worst game of the year. He doesn't jump off. He's not the Zion type. He's not a guy who immediately jumps off the screen. And there's no one in this class like that, at least not on the college level. I don't know if there's a Euro that we should be all excited about, but I don't think so. Not to that level. So it's a bad year, like most years in the NBA. And when you're a bad basketball team, the draft, not a great way to build. You don't get the Zions every year, and you're not going to get them this year.
No.
No, you didn't get it this past year. You got Edwards that went to Minnesota.
Yeah, no. This is another one. Now, there's probably going to be a gem.
Somewhere down the list.
Or out of Europe or whatever. There's going to be a gem in there, and you just got to find it.
Like, they're going to be good rotational players, but when you are vying for a top overall pick, you hope there's a no-doubter. And unfortunately for the Rockets, one of those doesn't exist right now.
Mm-mm. And this is a one-and-done guy. His field goal percentage is 45%. Now, he's 41% from three, which isn't very Ben Simmons.
That's encouraging, yeah.
That's really encouraging. But I'm telling you, he has droughts that's just like, wow.
But as a jump shooter, 45 isn't bad.
As their best player and a number one overall pick, he's not just a go-to guy. I mean, look at the number of shots, 12, 13, 15, 18. It's not like he just give me the just dominate because I'm the best player on the floor.
I will say the 45%, he's a perimeter player. I mean, it's not terrible for that as a swingman type, a guard type. And particularly when it's...
Yeah, but you would think he'd get a lot more shots off. And 13 shots, 12 shots.
I guess you would say 11, maybe...
13, 10, 12...
I'm not watching Okie State all the time, but if he's playing within the confines of the offense as opposed to going one-on-one, maybe that says he's not a guy who's against playing in a team concept. And the ability to shoot over 40% from three while shooting almost five per game, that's attractive. And he's an 85% free throw shooter. So, I mean, I don't think, from what I can tell, just looking at the rest of the landscape, he'll be the number one overall pick, and he'd likely be the guy the Rockets would take if they landed that pick.
Yeah.
And then you just have to hope.
I don't know. I've seen him shut down. And I don't, he's not as assertive as he needs to be to me. If you're going to be the best player on the floor, which he obviously is, You need to take a much bigger role than that dude's taking.
Yeah, it'll be interesting what we see during tourney time, because that's generally when these guys kind of rise to the top. And like Jason Tatum, he was a good player in his freshman year at Duke, but you could see that potential start to grow as through the tournament. So we'll see what Cade Cunningham does when you get to the Big Ten tournament. But Oklahoma's won five in a row. Won five in a row, solidified their spot in the field. So we'll as long as the tournament's not canceled, we'll get to see them.
Yep. 10:30 ESPN 975-713-780 3776.
Loaded, ready, rule.
You're listening to ESPN 975. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
Hey, Del, here's another reason not to have kids. So Ann Hebert was a vice president at Nike. Nike executive Ann Hebert. She had to leave the company. She left the company because her son, Joe, is 19 years old, and he makes money reselling items, primarily sneakers. Apparently, he resells hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of merchandise, mainly sneakers, on the secondary market. He says his margins are not big. It's a volume business for him. One of the big winning strategies for him and his partners is to use computer programs to circumvent the one per customer limit imposed for some online sales items. Then they take their supply of limited edition materials and resell them for profit. She is in the marketing department. She disclosed her son's business to Nike back in 2018. The company said at the time that Hebert did not violate company policy, privileged information, or conflicts of interest. Yet she still resigned. She oversaw sales, marketing, and merchandise in the region.
You know, our good friend, dearly departed Raheel, his basis for, you know, life was never go viral. She resigned after her son got more attention.
Yeah.
There was this big story written about him recently, and it came back around, and he was asked some things about, you know, his business, and it turns out he kind of knows about the shoes that are going to hit harder than others, and he knows that some shoes that are going to be sustainable in terms of selling them. And there's some questions about how would you know that these particular shoes that you're buying in bulk are going to be ones that are grayed out on the secondary market? And some people are looking at his mom saying, did you give him some inside information?
Yeah. That's what the competitors have access to the same bot software. What they don't have, according to some of the subscribers, is consistent sound analysis of what shoes to buy, how to get them, and crucially, how long resellers might expect demand to persist. Hebert obviously thought there was a conflict of interest, or maybe she got some pressure from higher ups. And then they said, if you know the right people here, this is the city to sell shoes. The right people can give you access to stuff that, like a normal person, would not have access to. Well, if he's made relationships because of his mom, that's okay.
Yeah.
As long as his mom isn't giving him information, right?
I guess. It just turns out that it was all a little bit too muddled, and she decided to step down whether she was asked to or not. I guess we can kind of guess that that might have been the case. But, yeah, another reason not to have kids, it cost you a great job. Because he's making – and in the story he talks about, I'm not making a lot of money per shoe. I'm making a lot. I'm making money because I'm selling a lot of shoes.
Right.
So he has to do this continuously to make any type of profit, and it costs mommy her job.
Yeah, and he's got partners too. So, and if he's only selling hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of shoes, and you're not making that much per, plus you're splitting it with guys, mom lost on the deal.
Certainly, and who knows. Who knows if she was actually giving him information or not? But
at 19, he's a hustler.
Yeah, I appreciate it, considering that his mom has a pretty, you imagine, lucrative job, at least certainly a very, I mean, one that's going to hold some esteem, and he was still doing his thing. Turns out his thing apparently cost mom her job.
It'll be interesting because Ann Hebert sounds like a sharp woman that she might be. She'll probably get another job. Maybe she'll get in some, I don't know, microwave industry or something. But and if her son turns to selling microwaves on the secondary market, now you know. You know what I'm saying?
Who's buying microwaves on the secondary market? Who,
I don't know.
Is there an app for? I know there's shoe apps everywhere. Our dearly departed Jose, he and Raheel used to do that. Tyler does it too. They park, they camp out and wait for this app to go up, and they have to hit a button to make sure try to buy some shoes. If there's an app for like a Frigidaire,
yeah, you don't know,
or for fridges or microwaves.
Well,
I think air fryers would do big business.
So if she gets into the air fryer game. And all of a sudden, you see Joe, you know, and out of his trunk selling air fryers. Now we got a problem with Joe.
Yeah, because Joe can't keep his hand in the cookie jar. Keep costing mom work. And she was the North American head of Nike.
Woo! That's a big job, cuz.
Yeah.
Woo!
Nike and Nike VP, head of the North American branch.
Ooh.
Yeah.
See, that's why I got to be careful.
What? Oh, well.
Uh-huh.
It's not going to be Wendy's kids that cost her.
No. It's going to be, I've got to resign because my husband said something stupid.
VP Jim for North America Nike.
Woo! Yikes. Man, I'd be pissed at Joe. I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah,
I like that he's a hustler. I like that he's out there working it.
Mm-hmm.
He's got, he's got some plans. And he's probably going to be able to take care of himself.
But Joe,
you just effed up the family, Joe. Yeah.
Exactly. All the applause for the hustle, but sometimes you need to know how to take a step back.
No.
Let mom keep breaking it in.
Listen, that's something that Diana didn't know. At the end, she was told by Philip, your life is great, but it's all about that life, the queen's, okay? That's what we're all here for.
Yeah.
And it's, the queen is Ann Hebert. Joe, you're Diana. You got your place.
Ann needed the husband to look at Joe and go, look, I appreciate the entrepreneurship.
Yeah, but.
But
this ain't about you, Joe. It's all about Ann.
Cut it out.
Yeah.
Knock it off.
Hey, why can't you sell, microwaves, Joe?
Yeah, do something else.
Yeah. Get out of the sneaker game.
Yeah, and I'm looking at her. She's
you're bringing some heat on mom.
She's probably, I don't know, mid-40s, so I'm sure there's going to be an opportunity for her to do something else, but not like that. I don't know if you recover from losing the VP GM job for Nike.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, she looks like you think she's mid-40s?
Yeah, mid-40s, maybe late-40s.
Yeah.
Yeah, Joe's, 18, 19, so it makes some sense.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, and cost mom a job. I don't know the conversations between mom and Joe, but you gotta imagine you gotta look at your son sideways for the rest of his life.
Well, as soon as in 18, when she had to disclose it to Nike, you tell Joe,
no interviews,
Joe, we gotta listen. I gotta disclose this.
Look,
this is too close to home.
Brother. Nike had decided it was okay, but as I said before. Raheel will say, don't never go viral. The interview cost them because Nike was like, you know what? We kind of vetted this. It's fine. And then the interview popped up. He said some things that kind of brought things back into question.
Ooh.
And she had to go. Look, we hear about
self-snitching.
The worst drug dealers are the ones who are famous.
Yeah.
You never hear about the criminals the criminals that stay away from the limelight kind of figure things out and have a longer tenure. Joe didn't learn that lesson.
No.
Don't seek the limelight.
So there was, I watched the Chicago outfit. The best, the guy who succeeded Al Capone, Tony Accardo, never arrested. Not one time. All the other guys, Frank Nitti and all of the Paul Rica, all of those guys were famous and were all busted and did time. The only one who didn't was Tony Accardo. You know why? He was always, after he was done, He quit the outfit, and he worked as a salesman at some at a I think it was for a beer distributor or something, and just lived his life. Never arrested. Never had bajillions of dollars, but never spent it. Mm-hmm. He lived in the same house. All this stuff. That's the way to do it.
Don't make the you Don't make, no. make all your moves, but do it silent. You know, real G's move in silence, Sean.
Tony Accardo's a hero.
Joe, not a real G.
You know how many
cost mom.
You know how many guys Tony Accardo?
I don't want to. I'm sure he didn't do anything, John. Fine, upstanding citizen.
No, Tony Accardo was a great American. Tony Accardo, are you kidding? Look at that. How great Tony Accardo was.
He's a great guy.
Never got arrested. Never had to turn on.
Well, he never got arrested thieves. Because he never did anything wrong.
No,
John.
Never.
Fine, upstanding individual.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not even sure why you associated him with the outfit. I'm sure Tony was a law-abiding citizen.
Oh, the best. No, the best.
The best people, John.
1043 ESPN 97.5. It's time for News of the Weird. However, right now, Texas Star Grill Shop. TexasStarGrillShop.com. I got to tell you, people. I want to tell you something about they are the best. And listen, this isn't a mom-and-pop station. It started out, you know, small business, Rick and Michelle. They got four stores. They've got a huge warehouse. They've got an operation that is second to none. They have free delivery and assembly at your house. And now is a great time. They've got a spring sale going on that is unbelievable. I bought mine there, and I want to tell you, I've got the nicest DCS grill. It is when you see this thing, I'm telling you, I said, I got to have this one. This is the best one that you have, and it is spectacular. I just bought it just a couple of months ago. They've got the Pits and Spits, a best Houston-made barbecue grill, period. Traeger Timberline, 1300 sale. It's crazy deals going on right now. The Napoleon grills coming up with the launch of the Phantom grills, Saber infrared grills, the Big Green Egg this Easter. And listen, your home improvement, it starts in the backyard. Get the best discount pricing on the equipment needed for your outdoor kitchen of your dreams. And it's unbelievable. Four different locations now, and the sales are spectacular. This, again, you're buying it from the biggest and the best grill salespeople in the city. That's Texas Star Grill Shop. TexasStarGrillShop.com. Four locations in the city of Houston. There's one near you. TexasStarGrillShop.com.
This is Heisman Trophy winner, College Football Hall of Famer Eddie George, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. Do you think this is going to help, Del, during the George Floyd death trial? Apparently, Minneapolis is going to hire influencers to spread messaging. Do influencers have? You're going to get? Are you getting Kim or Kylie?
I'm not sure what an influencer can do for a juror.
Well,
is that what?
No. I think so. That there's not going to be more rioting.
Oh, Deshaun.
Yeah.
Derek Chauvin is the police. Former police officer in question, and he is the one we saw on screen kneeling on George Floyd until he died. So his trial is taking place, and if that's going to keep people from violence, great. I'm just not sure. I'm looking for influencers to have any part to play.
Yeah. Speaking of which, in Cleveland, Ohio, apparently, Oberlin Conservatory issued an apology after backlash. A flyer for a celebration of black artistry, a virtual performance that ended Black History Month. The flyer highlighted the all-white group performing.
These are the times where you say, there should always be someone sitting in the room going, do you guys really want to do that?
Have you guys looked at this?
I saw a tweet yesterday. Because the Hawks fired Lloyd Pierce yesterday, And someone was like, the day after Black History Month, you fire Lloyd Pierce.
Just one day.
The day when you thought it was okay to do it, you fired him.
Yeah. Apparently, police found, this is good police work. They found a woman linked to a crime by Cheeto residue on her teeth. Tulsa police said a woman is in jail after Cheeto residue on her teeth linked her to an attempted home burglary. A person attempting to force their way through the window. The victim was alone in the residence, two small children. She told 911 that a person was breaking through a window. They found the open window. They saw her come out of the shadows and arrested her. Officer said they found an empty Cheeto bag and a bottle of water on the floor near the open window. And there was Cheeto residue on her teeth.
Well, I've never committed a robbery, but you know how relaxed you have to be eating Cheetos and drinking. It's the whole, look, I've seen enough crime shows to know I don't want to leave any thing behind.
I mean, back in the day, cigarette butts while you were stalking, remember?
Yeah. No, I don't remember.
You know,
oh, you mean on TV?
On TV.
Yeah, on TV.
The criminal was, you know, they said, we saw a guy over by the, and there's cigarette butt, and then it's the, come on.
Stop, come on, Cheeto. You're eating Cheetos.
You got a pack of Newports, and there's a bunch of Newport butts right there.
It connects you to the crime.
Come on.
Now Cheetos is the new Newports, the new cigarettes. Look. I don't think I could be that comfortable. I'm about to break into someone's house. I'm just going to snack. Nah, not me.
After 26 years of financial aid, Refuge and Domestic Abuse Service, RISE has had its funding pulled. Apparently, it is not going to be funded anymore. It lost £5 million because it's not gender neutral.
What's not gender neutral?
A domestic abuse charity. It's only for women.
Ah.
So they lost $5 million in funding.
Was the government funding them? And now because they're specific to women?
The Brighton Council.
Okay.
Yeah. Bosses of the Brighton Council carried out an equality assessment, reportedly found more assistance was needed for straight, gay, and trans men.
Okay. Why couldn't they have just, you know, figure something out?
To the list.
Yeah, why did you have to pull the funding from an organization
worthwhile? Boop, nothing. Wow.
It feels like you guys could have just, you know, had a discussion, written something into the bylaws, and things have changed. Whatever. Feels dumb, but whatever.
I hope I make it, is a quote from a 7-year-old Alabama girl selling lemonade to fund her brain surgeries. Do you think that maybe there should be, I mean, what a cute little girl too. She's selling lemonade, and here's a story. I don't know if she's going to make it with lemonade sales per se.
That's a lot of lemonade to sell. She did raise almost
raised almost $200,000.
7-year-old
girl. I think people are probably just throwing her cake.
Well, yeah, it's not about the lemonade at that point. I would hope not.
How much is this? A quarter. All right. Wait, you're going to have Brent? Here's 50 cents.
Yeah, or more. I don't think the country's, what's it called? I forgot what that one's called, or whatever it's called. I don't think the lemonade she's selling is getting it done. I think it's, you know, people are seeing a worthwhile cause and saying, you know what? We appreciate the hustle, the grind. Is that what they're doing? We're gonna tip you 200%.
Right. Yeah. No. I think probably. I don't know. Give the kid something. Brain surgery.
Yeah. I don't think the Country Time Lemonade is getting it done.
Apparently, there's a rooster in India that is going to go to trial. He killed a man. A man was killed by a rooster with a blade tied to its leg during an illegal cockfight in southern India.
You know, we have a guy who we used to work with who thinks he can beat a rooster in a cockfight.
Yeah, he's got no chance.
Yeah.
The rooster with a 3-inch knife tied to its leg fluttered in panic, slashed its owner, and now it's going to appear in court.
So
he was hit by the rooster's knife in the groin. started bleeding heavily. Of course he would.
How is the rooster going to be judged by a panel of his peers? Are they going to get other chickens?
Well, I don't know that the rooster so much is going to be jailed for it, but probably everyone involved in the cockfight.
Yeah, but the initial reads made it sound like the rooster's going on trial.
No. Yes, I know. That's what the...
Can you imagine 12 chickens sitting and judging a rooster for the crime of murder?
Yeah. Rooster kills owner during illegal confession in the groin. Rooster will appear in court.
See? The rooster's appearing in court, not the people involved in the cockfight.
Well, but I think he's appearing... I don't know why he's appearing in court.
Yeah, you can't explain it other than the rooster's on trial.
That poor rooster, he didn't know any better.
Not well.
You tie a blade to a rooster's leg. Guess what
you're asking for?
Slash in the groin.
No, you're asking for it.
That's all. Hey, rooster, I'm voting not guilty. Not on rooster.
But you don't get to. The chickens will decide.
I'm going. What if I was on the jury?
No, the chickens will be the jury. A jury of his peers. Yeah, it can't be human beings.
10:56. We're done. It's the Press Box next, right here on ESPN 97.5.
When it comes to sports betting, SportsMapBets.com is the site you need. From weekly betting guides to single game breakdowns of the point spread, money line, over under, and more, SportsMapBets has all the info you need to make the best play. SportsMapBets.com.